I propose that we continue the meeting. I'll now give the opportunity to the chairperson of the House of Traditional Leaders, who goes now on to give some introductory remarks. And did you follow the receipt of the plea?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, Deputy Chairperson of the National House of Traditional Leaders, Director General, DDGs, Cocteau Family, CEO of the National House. Chairperson, I want to start by the wise words from the great writer John Maxwell when he said, "The growth and development of people is the highest calling of leadership." This statement reminds us, as the new members of the National House, that we are called to ensure that our people grow and develop. This is not our responsibility, but our calling. Chairperson, the National House of Traditional Leaders was reconstituted during August 2012. The reconstitution delivered 23 members of the National House who are driven by nothing else but the calling to serve and develop the institution of traditional leadership. Chairperson, the reconstitution of the National House was caused by the expiry of the term of office, which was in May 2012. The reconstitution took place, took longer than expected, because of the time taken to constitute the provincial houses of traditional leaders that are a feeder to the National House. The National House had to wait until all houses of traditional leaders were reconstituted. The reconstitution marked the first aligned term of office of all the structures of traditional leaders. The alignment means that the structures of traditional leaders will have the same focus and destination from the start to the end of the term. Fuller White defines some destination as to have a conscious commitment to a common goal. The common goal of the institution is to ensure that the communities they are representing receive the best service and development that government offers. The common goal that the institution has is to ensure that poverty is eradicated, unity prevails amongst the communities, and traditional leaders actively participate in the governance processes. The reconstitution marked the beginning of the institution striving to have a shared vision. The National House is determined to deliver on its mandate. It is determined to ensure that the institution and all the affairs of the Department of Traditional Affairs join hands in development and growth of the African traditional community areas. We cannot afford to see the realization of the prediction in the National Development Plan that in the near future, the rural areas shall be left with no people. It cannot be correct that we fold our arms as public office bearers and as structures and leaders to see the prediction coming to life. We cannot afford not to encourage the communities to use the available resources to create local economic development. At the House, we are determined to ensure that traditional leaders encourage their communities to actively use the land to produce food. It is on the basis of the NDP that the National House has engaged the Minister of Rural Development to strategize to promote and encourage communities to be involved in land development so as to be the source of food security. We are determined to ensure that youth develop the passion for land use so that we keep influx of young people to urban areas. We want to keep the young people at rural areas because that is where food is located through using the available land. We are partnering the Department of Rural Development to ensure that the program of National Rural Youth Service Corps becomes a reality. We are positive that if this program is correctly utilized, a number of youth will be kept in the rural areas, tilling the land and producing food, thus achieving objective of food security. Chairperson, the House has participated in a number of initiatives aimed at ensuring that service delivery is realized in rural areas. It has participated in the summit of stakeholders that deliberated on five key elements which we identified. The five key areas that were deliberated upon are accelerating service delivery, sound financial management, promoting good governance, accelerated infrastructure development, and fight against corruption. We are determined to ensure that services are accelerated to our communities by participating in the overall governance. We have already demonstrated our readiness to participate in all spheres of governance. The last province to take such a decision was KwaZulu-Natal. During the conference AMCOSI and SAGA held by the KwaZulu-Natal province, one of the resolutions taken was that traditional leaders are going to participate in municipalities so that their communities may benefit from such participation. The importance of participating is to ensure that traditional communities benefit from the different programs and services offered by municipalities. In Mpumalanga, the creative mayor addressed the conference of traditional leaders and confirmed their commitment of working together in order to develop their communities. The unity that exists between traditional leaders and the district municipality of Hersibande is something that must be appreciated and considered as a true partnership and governance in action. Chairperson, that was just to give a generic overview before the DG present. I must mention that as the National House, we are called to lead and render services to our communities. We are called to ensure that government adopts policies that favor our customs. We are called to make sure that we represent the estimated 20 million rural communities. We are going to influence bills and policies. We will influence you as parliamentarians to take parliament to the deep rural areas so that you can visit the different programs that traditional leaders are involved in. Many traditional leaders are a shining example of what participating in service delivery and creating growth in rural areas is all about. We have traditional leaders who have partnered with universities to promote education. We have traditional leaders who are starting the Nguni cattle breeding. We have traditional leaders who are working on establishing a local television station for young presenters who will be groomed for the communication market out there. If this is not service delivery, then we have eyes, but we choose not to see the obvious. Chairperson, you must appreciate the Director General of the Department of Traditional Affairs for making sure that the National House remain afloat and receives the support necessary, though he is as well hamstrung with budget. But the little that we have, we share. We will continue to work together in order to ensure that the lives of our people are improved through sound service delivery. We are still to meet the Director General of the Department of Cooperative Governance and the Acting Chief Executive Officer of MISA to take the matter of indirect services to the traditional councils further. We have been reliably informed that both the Director General and the Acting Chief Executive Officer of MISA are from the rural areas. They have a clear understanding of what traditional leadership is all about. They are expected to start now planning to assist the institution to deliver on its mandate. Chairperson, as mentioned earlier, I'm going to ask the Director General of the Department of Traditional Affairs to take the committee through the performance report of the department, the National House, and the CGLGC. This will be the first annual report presented by the Director General in his capacity as the overall accounting officer. We have mandated him to lead the presentation. If he represents well, you may consider giving him an honorary headmanship. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, host Malani, for your opening remarks. And I also wanted to, honorable members, my colleague, DJ Madonsela, earlier, did indicate the earlier discussion after the presentation by Treasury, by DG's office. They were indicating that they were not complying with this or that and so on. I wanted to make a point that some of the challenges are structural challenges. For example, the Department of Traditional Affairs, when we got recruited, the structure was ready for us, waiting for us. And the people that designed the structure were consultants. When we came in, we looked at the mandate of the department and found that the structure was not covering that. And quite often we say the structure must follow the strategy, not the other way around. So we came in and in the process of trying to work around the structure and making sure that we also cater the other areas of our mandate. For example, we share a CFO, and it never happens anywhere where you share a CFO. And you can't have that the CFO 50% of your time and 50% of the other time, this especially if you are a two-year-old child, and so on. So, it is a difficult situation, and so on. And then we don't also have the corporate and financial services. But we thank Treasury. I indicated last time that we were given very small amount, but we appreciate it, the Treasury. We have advertised for 10 posts. One of those posts will be for somebody that will be working like a CFO. And that will assist us. We also have a post for somebody that will be assisting us with HR matters, procurement issues, and so on. This will, will assist TCOC, because at the moment they are helping the two departments and so on. So I thought that I should raise this. Now, the year under review, during that year, it was our second year. The first year we had to go out together with the National House to meet with the stakeholders in all the provinces, finding out what are the real issues. And out of that, we came up with 5 or 6 thrusts. And those thrusts informed our plans even for 2012-2013. Now, we did not set our targets very well, particularly in terms of policies. Our policy targets were not smart enough. For example, we talked about Traditional Affairs Bill gazetted for public comment. Now, we were not supposed to talk about the gazetting part because that is beyond our control. We have done everything possible and completed that work, but we had no control over the parliamentary processes. So hence, it was partially achieved, we partially achieved that target like that. And then the issues of regulations on the roles and functions of kings and queens. It's beyond our control. And so the reason why we formulated this target is a difficult thing when you're establishing something new and so forth. So I think as advocate, Nseo will be taking you through the presentation, Kusumavan. I've delegated downwards. For the first time that we're presenting, one comprehensive family presentation for the Department of Traditional Affairs, National House, as well as the Dispute and Claims Commission presentation. It's not a very long presentation. We've prepared it in a narrative way. We've presented it this way previously. It's much more detailed, and it gives as much information as possible. And finally, the chairperson asked the question about the bill, the Traditional Affairs Bill. The Traditional Affairs Bill it took a long time before it got through the parliamentary processes. But we are very happy now that it has gone through Parliament, it has been gazetted. For 60 days, people will be commenting. I'll be here in Cape Town until Saturday. From Wednesday to Saturday, we'll be meeting the National Question Council. So we'll be spending much time with them, just taking them through that process. So we're happy that there is that. So it will come, after the hearings and so on, then it will come to Parliament. And the Portfolio Committee will then have, a it bites at it when it comes at that time. I'm going to ask Advocate Sewa to take you through. Thank you.
Thanks, DJ. Thanks, Chairperson. And honorable members. The report that follows is a published report against the APP targets that the DG has already alluded to. The first one was compliance on the implementation of the traditional Leadership and Governance Framework Act. The progress report is that comprehensive desktop analysis of the Framework Act, which serves as a basis for assessment of provincial legislation, has been completed. A similar analysis was also completed in respect of the National House Act. A report for the Eastern Cape, Free State, Gauteng, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape and Northwest was completed as well. KwaZulu-Natal was delayed because of the fact that the province has drafted a new bill which is currently being considered. The second one was the gazetting on the form of the formula and the compliance report on the establishment of kinship and queenship councils. The draft formula has been developed and is being consolidated for consultation with various kings around the country. The third one is the regulation on the roles and functions of kings and queens that should have been developed by the end of the year. The draft regulations on the roles and functions of the kings has now been completed and developed. Approved policy on male initiation, that was the target. The draft policy on male initiation was developed and submitted to Cabinet. And Cabinet approved that the draft national policy on male initiation must be consulted with the relevant role players and that it must be submitted to the Cabinet Committee on Governance Administration. Consultation has been concluded, inclusive of the Khoisan communities, as they also do practice some form of initiation as you know it. The fifth one is the National Traditional Affairs Bill. The DG has already alluded to the bill. We already can report that the bill has now finally been approved by Cabinet and been published for comment. It's ongoing. The progress on it is ongoing work. The sixth one is the research report on the analysis of headmanship and headwomanship leadership positions, the developmental role of traditional leaders. Draft research report with an analysis on headmanship and headwomanship position, including their recognition and confirmation, has been developed. Research report on the developmental role of traditional leaders has as well been developed. Traditional affairs strategy has been developed. The strategy is aimed at improving and strengthening coordination of intra- and inter-sphere coordination of traditional affairs matters across the three spheres of government. Traditional leadership institution empowered through training, linkages and other resources. The department, in collaboration with the services sector education training authority, coordinated training on the application of HIV and AIDS in a sector workplace for officials in the House of Traditional Leadership and Traditional Councils for Eastern Cape, Free State and Mpumalanga and Gauteng. The department also coordinated training on indigenous law for 40 traditional leaders on customary law in the Free State province, which was offered by Justice College. The department also facilitated training on marine resources and fisheries in the coastal provinces. The next target was the partnership framework that had to be approved. Partnership framework was developed and was approved. The framework seeks to address the development, establishment and sustenance of collaborative and cohesive relations between various partners within traditional affairs. A report on the implementation of the recommendation on the assessment of state of governance of traditional leadership structures. A report on the implementation on these structures has been developed. The department has developed the Traditional Leadership Empowerment Program for implementing the recommendations of the report on state of governance of traditional leadership structures. In order to implement the program, the department has established the National Implementation Forum, which is a forum where various all the provinces that are handling this portfolio come together to discuss mutual programs. To this effect, the department has also supported the provinces to establish provincial implementation forums. The National House supports strategically as outlined in its founding legislation. The department supports the National House of Traditional Leaders in conducting induction for new members of the House. The department supports the House financially and administratively for the reconstitution of the traditional councils during the year under review. The department provided further financial, human resources and professional support to the entities for the following activities: celebration of identified cultural events, planning and performance management and reporting, inauguration of members of the House, and official opening of the House. And now close the targets of the House specifically. The first was the alignment in terms of offices, that is between the national and the provinces. The term of office of the Institution of Traditional Leadership has been aligned. All terms of offices of the traditional councils and houses of traditional leaders are now aligned. All structures of traditional leaders' term of office is the same as the term, that is, we are talking here of provincial houses, is now the same as the term of the office of the National House. Reconstitution of the National House. The term of the National House expired in May 2012. The reconstitution of the provincial houses started with the National House being last to be reconstituted during August 2012 on the basis of the provisions of the Act. Members were sworn into office, inducted, and committees reinstituted. The opening of the House was addressed by the President on the 7th of March last year. And the President called upon members of the House to start actively participating in nation building, poverty reduction, rural development, moral regeneration, heritage promotion, and other activities that involve the communities they represent. Effective involvement of traditional leaders on matters of service delivery. The House participated in a number of service delivery initiatives like the Summit on Service Delivery held in the Northern Cape, participated in the Ministerial Stakeholder Summit, which concentrated on the five key priorities of LGDAS, which, as members would know, is about accelerating service delivery, promoting sound financial management, promoting good governance, accelerating infrastructure development and maintenance, and fighting corruption. The House participated in the programs of the Department of Rural Development, as Jose Magwane has already alluded to. Traditional leaders are taking an active role in education programs and partnering with institutions of higher learning to ensure that rural communities are developed. The House participated in the ministerial initiatives in various provinces where the National House was participating in terms of encouraging traditional leaders to actively participate in the overall development programs and nation building. Improvement of working relationship between the houses and traditional leaders. The House facilitated the first chairperson's forum to start the process of alignment of working relationship and cooperation amongst the houses. This is in line with the mandate of the National House of Traditional Leaders to ensure cooperation and alignment of programs. Participating in policy and legislative development and implementation, the National House, as part of its mandate, actively participated in the legislative process like the Traditional Courts Bill, Intellectual Property Amendment Bill, and many other legislations which include making input into the initiation policy as alluded to earlier. The National House participated in several IMBIZO in the different provinces aimed at combating domestic violence. Furthermore, the National House encouraged provincial houses of traditional leaders to actively participate in the legislative processes at provincial and local level as part of deepening democracy. Promote custodianship of culture, customs, traditions and values by traditional leadership. The National House of Traditional Leaders participated in a number of cultural celebrations like Imemo, Amaholo, and so on, with the intention of promoting culture and heritage of the people in areas of traditional leadership, and in so doing putting meaning to the slogan of unity in diversity. The National House further participated in a number of heritage celebrations hosted by various traditional leadership with one message of encouraging unity, participation in developmental programs, and ensuring that culture is promoted within the ambit of the constitution and use of indigenous languages as part of our heritage. The National House engaged stakeholders like the Sierra Rights Commission, Freedom Park, Pencil, SARA, South African Heritage Resources Agency, with the intention of partnering with them on promotion of cultures, language, and heritage. Participation following the Marikana tragedy. The National House was directly involved in the quelling of violence and ensuring that the traditional communities around Marikana remain safe and are catered for, and those in the employ of the mine are catered for. The National House further accompanied the Kings to talk to miners at Marikana as part of participating in ensuring a peaceful and lasting solution to the problems at Marikana. The Commission on Traditional Leadership Disputes and Claims. The first target was the resolution of 300 traditional leadership disputes and claims that they should be finalized by the end of that year. The report is that finalization of the disputes and claims is dependent on the appointment of committees. The number of members of the provincial committees is determined by the Premier after consultation with the Minister and the National Commission. Five committees have since been established in the following provinces with the higher number of disputes and claims. Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, Northwest, and Limpopo. Each of these committees is chaired by each of the five national commissioners. The committees attended to provincial claims and disputes delegated to them by the national commissioner and the premier of the respective province, except those relating to kingships and queenships, which are dealt with at national level. The commission started with a total number of 1,244 disputes in 2011. During 2012 and 13, 249 traditional disputes and claims were finalized as follows. Mpumalanga, 49 finalized. Limpopo, 72 finalized. Eastern Cape, 42 finalized. Northwest, 25. KwaZulu-Natal, 44. And at national level, 19 disputes and things were finalized. That is the report of the Department of Traditional Affairs for that year.
Thanks, Axis, for this comprehensive report, which includes the report and programs of traditional affairs, report and programs of the House of Traditional Leaders, the report and programs of the Commission of Traditional Leadership Disputes and Claims Commission. Members, I'll invite you for questions. Honorable Binamo, Honorable Bonhomme, Honorable Steve Hayes, and Honorable Smith, Honorable Musiman.
Thank you, Shepherds. Thank you very much for the presentation. I want to look at the number of the initiates who died this year, only over 300 of them. Their private parts terribly mutilated. These are the children who have parents who love them like any other parent, as we are seated here. We have asked for a commission of inquiry on these deaths. This was never entertained. The traditional leadership, which is in charge for this, kept quiet and did nothing about it. There was a meeting that was held the traditional leaders in Mpumalanga. And they came with a very thin report on those days of the initiates, which does not actually say much about why were these kids taken into initiation schools, some of which were not even registered, and initiated by people who are not qualified to do so. And the country was supposed to have been more shocked than the Marikana tragedy, because Marikana tragedy only took 43 lives, but here we're talking over 300 lives of young men. We're still waiting to hear from the traditional leadership as to what criteria is used to say that a person is qualified to conduct initiation on young boys. The paper yesterday, the New Nation, published a tender of 180 million for initiation schools, for people who would apply for initiation, for this tender to conduct or run initiation schools. Now, this is just mere corruption and nothing else. That taxpayers' money can be taken and be plundered in that fashion. The initiation school is nothing new in the African traditions, but it is not the government that takes responsibility to pay for the initiates. The parents take responsibility, and the people who take responsibility for the young men as individuals are actually taken care of by the parents of those initiates. Now the question is, where are we going to see the, you talk here about the policy, but that's this policy, because it's not even clear here as to what is the way forward now in terms of traditional initiation schools, having lost so many children. Now, what is the way forward? What is it that we are going to do to ensure that in the following year, because in 6 months from now, we'll be having another traditional initiate schools opened in winter, are we going to see the law that is going to prevent Boga's traditional schools taking place? Thank you.
Thanks. I just allow you to continue, because your input is very important.
Sorry, Chairperson. I forgot one question. You reminded me. No. Yes, but just one question.
Thank you. Question number four, according to the report, there's a good policy on education. My argument is the policy is formulated because of the challenges for initiation. But at the same time, do the department say that we don't have initiation schools for females? Are we saying a department that it says that for females there is no need for policies to be in place in terms of application, in terms of things which are happening? We see where women are just right without their will to go to their schools and so on. I thought that maybe the parents would have said a policy for initiation, knowing that it generalized men and women. But as I said, Balenavame, the Kankinela Mabokunde thing, I propose that it should be looked at female or male, or just the policies must, the policy must also be for women. And second thing, the last page is talked about history. Is it a land history or is it a dispute coming from this issue of he is not the relevant chief or he is the right or wrong or whatever chief? Maybe it's not mentioned that that's easier than the thing in terms of the history.
I don't know if I was across, but I've got the last year's AVP in front of me, and the objectives and targets for the National House Judicial Leaders are completely different to what's reported being reported at. I'll give you an example. I mean, there was supposed to be 4 chairperson forums to monitor implementation, 8 secretaries forum monitor information decisions, facilitate an annual conference of judicial leaders, develop and monitor implementation, calendar of cultural events, activities of the House, identification and monitoring service delivery. There was a position paper for all policy and legislation referred to the National House and regional leaders. Develop and implement cultural, custom and traditional practices model. And the quarterly reports were facilitating 4 chairperson forums, 8 secretary forums, develop and monitor implementation, calendar of cultural events. And there's things on that have been reported that weren't on here, and things that are in the ADP that are not in the reporting model. So I just need some clarity on the department. Was there a change in targets during the year, or because it's very difficult to hold the department to account by the performance by the targets that were originally set and approved by us in the ADP and what's before us today. So if I just get some clarity before I ask any further questions.
I think if you should look at some of the things that are there, most of the things which I talk about, the meeting of the secretaries of the House and so on, you know, we said we can't report about the meeting of secretaries of the House, but, you know, what is achieved by the members of the National House in terms of what is supposed to be done. And I think a number of the targets, if you could look at that, if you look at the targets that are in the ADP, I think a number of them, other than the one for secretaries meeting, the secretaries of the House meeting, and you know, we said that, you know, can't come and report to the House about a meeting of the secretaries of the House. But we're looking at the work that members of the National House are doing. And, you know, that meeting of the secretaries of the House, you know, what is it that, you know, we benefited from that kind of meeting? Because we were just meeting and so on. What did we gain from it and so on? And the gain there was that, you know, if they spotted the section, they just do exactly what we were reporting.
If I may continue, these are not my targets. They were the targets that were provided to us to hold you to account for. I'm not trying to be difficult, but you set particular targets for yourself. Because you set 8 secretary forums for the Earth, and 2 months of implementation to be made, 4 chairperson forums for the year, implementation to implement the decision made, monitor implementation of the process. You know, these are our specific lines and targets which you placed before us last year and said, this is what you're going to do, hold us to account. I can't hold you to account. I don't know how many secretaries forums, whether you met the target 8, the quarterly target 2 per quarter, whether the quarterly implementation report was provided. It's very difficult for me to do so. I mean, the Americana matter wasn't the target set in this particular document, nor was the annual address of the NHGL Vice President a specific target. And so you must understand I'm in a difficult position now because, you know, if you take me this and say this is what I'm going to do, and I've been coming before me, that somewhat speaks to some of the outcomes, but certainly there's key elements missing, which makes it impossible for me to see whether you actually make the progress or not. I'm not going to say it's on the document, but I'm saying there's things in here that weren't on the
document. I don't need your input, but at last you said, Maritana wants to have it. So I was thinking that the new target to study.
Maybe just to say I don't agree with you this one, because what we're doing, we're measuring what was set out as a predetermined target first. This is not a document which is saying what did the department do, it's saying what did it do in respect to target established. So I have the same problem. Why is the president's explanation thing here? It wasn't their target, that was the president's target. His attending their meeting is not their target being satisfied, it's his target being satisfied. As the Auditor General's office this morning said, certain targets are not necessarily appropriate. So that was one I've raised as well, and I was kind of similar. But up to do with the annual performance plan is simply what happened in reaction to the event. Not appropriate at all. Actually, I just want to comment that he talked to this first stage by saying, well, of course, we're into year 3 now, we've had the establishment phase, and some of the targets are not necessarily smart. So, and I do have a level of empathy for that, and some are acceptable, some are very vague. I don't want to harp on it, but I assume that by having that as his premise today, he is indicating that from now on, including this year's target, they're much smarter than these. I'm hoping that that's the case, because I wouldn't want to hear the same story next year, that, oh, we're in year 4, then we're in year 5, we're still mucking around with non-smart targets, I hope. But so the issue I want to raise, actually, which I find somewhat disturbing, and maybe is my reading of it, or maybe it's left out. If you refer to page 110 of the annual report, this refers to the House, the National House. So the National House on page 109 has given all these wonderful things it does. It fosters partnerships, and it promotes unity and advises government, right? Then you go to an actual thing that happens on page 110, what do you see this? You see, there are a number of chairpersons forums, the one John referred to, Honourable Stephen has referred to earlier. We had these 4 chairpersons forum meetings that were the target. And indeed, they met. 2 of these met in Durban. 2 of these chairpersons forums meetings were met in Durban. To what purpose might we ask of a public body funded by taxpayers? Well, this body met in Durban to consider inputs into ANC policy conference. Well, Chair, I find this highly, highly inappropriate. That a National House of Traditional Leaders is being paid by taxpayers to give advice to a political party on its policy. There's a vocal controversy out there which is free to do such things. But what on earth the National House is doing the same thing, is really quite beyond me. I'd really like to know what the department thinks about that, since it supervises the National House and is the accounting officer for the House. What funds are spent on allowing this body to provide inputs into the political party policy platform, and what the controls, and whether the department thinks this is appropriate for where we're spending public money. Thank you.
Just to say, this is actually the document that the department should be speaking to, not the one that's put before us. Because this one deals with what targets were achieved and when were successful and what weren't successful. You know what? I think the confusion that's been created, and why I'm confused, is that what we've just been taken through is sort of like a year's activities, what we've been up to. Whereas the more comprehensive report is actually contained in the annual report. And that's perhaps what the department should have taken us through, give us a more accurate understanding of where we actually are in the world.
I'm out of work, but I don't know exactly what we are doing this afternoon with this presentation or the annual performance plan put before us. And perhaps I should start from His Royal Highness input, because he is more fun when we say we have eyes but we do not see. And perhaps it's not marketing, not the communicative reading that we want to see. Yet what the National House of Traditional Leaders is doing and how it is having impact on society. And I must share the very same thing the chairperson said by my colleagues here. We put the president's address in the National House of Traditional Leaders as one of the performances here. And Honorable Smithers clearly said that was the president going to make a speech there. It's nothing got to do with their performance plan. But let's dwell further in what has been put before us here. How many traditional leaders did the National House of Traditional Leaders invite for that particular address by the same president? In each province, how many delegates of traditional leaders came to attend that? Or have we created somewhat an elitist club where people just come and have a lunch in parliament with the president and then go back and you don't have feedback that goes to traditional leaders? There's a whole lot of things, Chairperson, here that the National House of Traditional Leaders claims to have participated in. Look at the service delivery, and they state that they've been participating on enhancing service delivery. Do you have a budget for that? What has been implemented in terms of service delivery? Have you eradicated bucket system toilets? Have you built roads? Have you built houses? Is that your mandate? Should we be sitting here and talking about service delivery? Or should we be talking about how you are enhancing traditional leaders to better understand the role they operate in or the space they operate in? Chairperson, I really am out for words on this. Promote custodians of culture, customs, traditions, and values in traditional leadership. What have we promoted? You talk about Imimemo, Amaholo, and etc. What is that? What was your role in that? Did you have a budget for that? Did you invite traditional leaders to attend that? How many did? What were the delegations that came from each province to participate in this event? So that I can say as a traditional leader sitting in the Eastern Cape, wow, there are best practices in the Northern Cape. The traditional leaders of Abatwa there are doing something that has hugely impacted my own understanding of the role I'm supposed to be doing in the Eastern Cape. What is really this chapter that is sitting before us? I'm lost for words, and I'd like to please really make us understand. If we are to talk to this, then I can spend all day going to each and every one thing that you put before us here. And I can tell you, when it comes to participation of the National House of Traditional Leaders, this, what is put before us, presents them as token people that just come as puppets to this department and not really have a huge input of substance. So when you want to claim participation,
in each and every of the targets put before us, then you force us to ask the question, what have you done as a National House of Traditional Leaders? With what budget? And who were you speaking to in that forum? Where were the traditional leaders? What impact have you had in those traditional leaders that goes back to their community to add value from what they've learned from this institution?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I'm going to align myself with what the Honorable Winnam has said. I do understand what the Chairperson said when I would like to understand the which targets the progress report. When we target and we have a progress report, I thought the dying of Igishi, hundreds of children who died, would be the first prevalent and the target. What are we doing around it? Because as traditional leaders. And when you come to custom, it seems that there's a lot of questions that some of us have been asking who are in the rural area. Something called Ubukai. I thought you'd be confused. And then the provinces and the national house, the terms of office are the same. I would like to know as to whether, what about the tools of trade, the allowances, the car allowance in the province? When are they going to be attended to? Are they going to be the same or are they going to be told that they are not targets or they are not in the progress report? How and when will it be attended to? Chairperson, there's 15 here in the district. I also want to know what do we mean by this? When traditional leaders are here, our main bodies in the rural area, do they include this district? Are they forgetting the widows? The widows. Widows in the rural areas. Who are being harassed by the in-laws that are the husbands of the who the in-laws loot their assets? What are the traditional leaders doing? Are those things much more important than the visits of the president or the speech of the president? Because I thought the widows are their children as traditional leaders. What part are they taking? You know, there's a saying that you cross the bridge when you come to it. I realized that there's this problem because I'm one of them. He came to me and asked, you are better off, you are staying in town, but in the village, even our chiefs, they call them chiefs. They don't call them traditional leaders. Are these things not important? What are the traditional leaders? What are the houses in the province or the nation? What are they doing about this? Those are the things that I would like to know. Those are the subjects, they call them subjects, they call themselves subjects to achieve. And they know that the in-laws are looting their things. Nothing has been said, nothing has been mentioned. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Chairperson. We don't have, it has emerged that we have kings and queens. We, in the past, spoken of one king known as King's Litino of KFM, but now we have kings and queens who have been there. I can quote King Skukuni is one of them. Now, the question that I want to raise here is, now that we have these kings and queens, is there going to be parity in terms of treating them? Are they going to be treated in the same way as kings and the team has been treated, or they are just going to be called kings and queens
but the treatment is going to be different from how the other king is treated. And I don't know why also the food security you spoke about, I want to find out what role are the Western tradition leaders playing in terms of enabling their subjects in their own villages to actually realize this food security. What sort of support they give to their, what's name, their community members who are interested in participating in that food security. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My attention is number 3 from the report, where it highlighted that the NHEL having diesel with a different purposes in a combat with NHEL. This to me is a good idea and it is a good action. But now I'm sitting here and try to think and find out that how do the Department or the NHPL address the relationship between the municipality and the chiefs? Because strategically, it's where it has addressed as a matter of intervention. It could have addressed where they are saying acceleration infrastructure development. The reason being, there are chiefs who derail the development of the more particularly at the rural area, saying that municipality wants to take their land, misleading the community. So my intake is, how do the NHCL address this relationship, because to me it's a very critical issue in terms of what you are saying of infrastructure development in the rural areas. Thank you.
If we may have planned in this document, you know. On page 6, it is a quote before Chairperson. National House of Traditional Leaders has been working on improving the relationship between the Houses of Traditional Leaders. The alignment of working relationships and cooperation amongst the houses. I presume that should be the National House of Traditional Leaders and Provincial House of Traditional Leaders. Yet that just talks to the top structures. What's the relationship between the Provincial House of Traditional Leaders and the Regional House of Traditional Leaders? And the traditional leaders that participate in that regional traditional leader. So if you take, for example, Mthatha having 46 traditional councils, what's the relationship between those 46 traditional councils with the regional House of Traditional Leaders and the traditional council's relationship with the headmen and sub-headmen? The list goes on, and you have to be coming out with best practices out of this structure in its totality. You cannot just pick the top chairman and speak to that. So I'd like to really get an understanding of the role of the National House of Traditional Leaders and what it's doing to ensure that there is alignment of all these issues.
You have, and I must speak to something that is very sensitive and dear to the Marikana strategy, because there's a citizen of Mbeza Traditional Council, we lost one of our own sons in this strategy. And the National House of Traditional Leaders says they were directly involved in quelling violence in this area, and also accompanied kings to talk to the miners in this area. Which kings do you accompany? And from which provinces did they come from? Were all Provincial House of Traditional Leaders represented in this accompanying of kings to talk to the miners at Marikana? do put a document for us, and rest assured we will raise questions on it. But it just goes to say to us, Chairperson, is this the work that we should be engaging the National House of Traditional Leaders in terms of performing? Or Honourable Hamid, in the document that he pointed out, is it what we were supposed to be talking to? I think it's really what we need to define in today's meeting. And perhaps maybe there should be a divorce between the Department and the National House of Traditional Leaders, so that we can have the Chairperson of the National House of Traditional Leaders presenting his performance plan directly, and not being led by a candidate for probably a position of a headmanship.
There is this tendency of
Morasi is called Kwafa.
Hi. Those who are supposed to end from mine. Maybe I should be rectified in some other folder. If I'm not in my own folder, but now, this child, seemingly they are not protected. I would have to find out from, I don't know where should I say to, National House of Traditional Affairs, to find out that how do they protect? I'll make it regard to what like bubble issue. Where the money will be exchanged by certain individuals of the department or whatever, with the minors and so on. Without the intervention of a particular chief. I'm saying this because the chief will be just giving a report or information. And this time I need to be able to come out of order. I'm so worried. So my intake is, because you only read from the newspaper, the child will say, so we want our money, we don't know where is our money, if somebody is our money, but you'll never get the truth. Who did who what? Where is the chief? How will now the chief have to be responsible and so on? Maybe some are very much specific. The House of Traditional whatever can say 10 hours.
Chairperson, I was not going to say anything, but I'm just like when Honorable Man talked about it, so that I don't know a note to be saying that what I wanted to ask is not within the report. The issue of the account is called, in certain cases, is the account. I've asked Honorable I've asked the DG about it, and I think we should have a meeting around it. And the people who really knows about, maybe even the provinces which are involved in the account, must come and present. It's what Honorable Musimane is asking about. There are those royalties from the mines, I understand the billion of rent around, and mostly the issue is you find that there is this destabilizes the community. You name the Bakata Bakata and within the leader, the Bakong, all those things. I think it should be another which will respect it. I don't want it. I was just requesting it shouldn't like slip through the window, because we really want to understand it, because when we go to our constituents, I was confronted by ask by the community about the GR account, which I don't know anything about it. And that is why I wrote to Lebo, I talked to the DG, and I even said that I think the minister must come to our rescue, because the people want to know where is their money. Thank you, Jeff.
Mine says it's not a question for them. It's to appeal to others as members of parliament. At least the language we're using. The language, how we were asking the questions and all that. The language. I said it's another question who ask to ask, but at least the language.
Yes, thanks, Madam Chair. I just have a final query. I'm probably slightly linked to the last two, and that's regarding overseeing of elections for traditional authorities. Now, I mean, there's obviously, if you cook up like photos, we get, you know, correspondence from people that haven't been elections, the same tribal leaders are in place, and, you know, there's money that's being made from mines, etc. And, you know, can I just get some understanding from the department what role it plays in ensuring that the legislative provisions for traditional leadership are actually effectively carried out on the ground? And should those traditional, the elections are taking place properly, and that they're properly constituted, and that they are resulting in a fair and effective result.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. We appreciate the question. In the end, we will come and ensure that we are going to answer them for us to achieve. You know, it's hard, but I'm amazed to find that we are so close, let's say, far apart, that we don't know what is happening on the ground. Before I will attend to other questions, I'm going to give an opportunity to administration to clarify certain issues that were brought forward. Especially regarding the report of the House. The report of the National House is still big for this 1 year about the performance of the House. But as to how we compacted it to this size, if you come from the department side, then you see all the House will also supply certain issues. Then I come into other questions that we pose to the House.
I'm going to try and answer some questions which I will then ask some colleagues to help me as well. Chair, some of the questions, like for instance the question on the account, I believe that we need a survey discussion as well as in the dialogue, because it is a very serious issue that needs the provincial administration to come in as well, because they are the people who are managing the account. We need to find out as to how much is every managing it and all of that, how the money is used. We would love to participate in that discussion with the people of the administration and the organizer. Chair, the other question that deals with the alignment of the term of offices, we need to recall that previously we were having other houses of provincial house of traditional leaders. The term of office was linked to the term of office of the provincial legislatures. And when provincial legislatures dissolved, those houses were forced to dissolve as well. as the members who are serving in the National House will then, their term of office will end, and so on. So, currently, with the reconstitution that took place last year, all houses have now come into the same term of office, but only houses coming from the traditional council. The traditional councils, local houses, provincial and national houses, all the same in term of office, which started last year as the national house reconstitution. So that is what is critical with this house. And I think, Chairperson, when the chairperson of the house started, he said it took a little bit longer than expected to reconstitute the national house, taking into consideration that its term of office expired in May, and therefore it was reconstituted in August. But that was as a result of provincial houses and local houses not being reconstituted, because the national house worked with members who are elected from provincial houses to the national house. If the provincial house has not conducted the election, national house will not have members. So that is why we have said so. So in some of the things as we'll be discussing, we should take note of the fact that to a large extent we are dealing with a fairly new house that started at the UCA as this national house of traditional leaders. Chair, some of the kings who visited Imaika and were in the national house participated, that includes the kings from Eastern Cape. King Long as an example is one of those who attended Imaika and addressed the community there. So it is one of
them. Almost all of them, please. Name all of them.
Okay. Then maybe I was still waiting to see if you go here and finish. So that, because in my class you can't just jump into the question right now. So is that protocol that we needed to represent the other king that was visited is the king Yamambo that visited the American parties. So that makes it a plural. So it is on those basis that you said kings visited the American. And some of the traditional leaders as well visited in Imaika, because as Ngozi corrected, in Ngozi Mandela correctly said that they as well lost a person in Imaika. There are quite a number of other communities who lost people in Imaika. Like for instance, some who came from the Sioux. So they were on those basis that the nation has directly engaged with the traditional leader within the tribe to ensure that he takes an active role in handling the situation in the community. Remember, if miners are on the track, they may have a direct influence to the communities that is in the surroundings. So it was in both cases that the National House will have to ensure that
that we still have not received the names of the kings that we accompanied. We only have a long list of the Amakos. So we want to know which kings, which nations, because the document before us, Chairperson, says we accompany kings to talk to miners. Who are these kings?
Yeah. Chair, I said the king of the Amakos, that's the king of the Amakos. That is what I said. Chair, I think it is known that the king of Amakos is king of them. And the king that visited the Imaika as well is Barozu. Those that went to Imaika. Chair, if I may continue as well. Chair, with regard to the combating of domestic violence, remember, Chair, previously we were, as a national house, we partnered with the NPA on this. So as part of rolling out the project that we started today, one of the aspects was to conduct even these on tackling domestic violence and to assist communities to how best can they deal with domestic violence. So that is one of those things. It is known that one of the responsibilities of traditional leaders is to ensure that they domestic violence or any kind of violence is kept to the the project that has started with training traditional leaders or the domestic violence, how best can they identify and assist in cabin search? So it is those individuals that the Commission has participated together with the NPA in Colombia. Chairperson, on the issues of parity on the king, there was a question on parity of king. Yes. If you look at the gazette that recognize kings, all of them are kings in the same way, and to my understanding, the parity between the kings. There's King Skukuni, for instance, Wagapedi, there's King Makosonke, Mabena, Mandevele, and they are all kings in their own right. And therefore, I think that is parity. But on the issue of food security, Chair, I think we did indicate that we are
partnering
with the Department of Agriculture, with the Department of Rural Development, to ensure that
Can I clarify my question, because it's not answering it the way I asked it. When I asked the question, when I said parity, I meant on salaries and tools of trade.
Chairperson, we are not getting clear answers from the department, and you can't want to be to not be transparent in this issue, and I want to be blatant on the issue I posed of kings. It's because, and I'm asking this question deliberately, the very same department has come out to say that Nosuku is not a king. The late king, Chambizu, is the one that is the rightful king of the Bondos. So this is why we want, when we speak, they must be clear who they are claiming to be kings that attended Marika. So that we are clear, we echo the very same message out there. And it goes then to the same question that Honorable Goinamo is asking. They need to be specific when they speak, because we want to be clear as well and be informed as to whom we speak about out there when we refer to kings and queens.
Thank you. Thank you, Jefferson. Chair, there was another question which maybe one did not answer. The one that certain traditional leaders delay development. One may not be aware who that traditional leader who is standing before development. Maybe if we could get details, we'll then be in a position to take the matter forward. So at the moment, what we know is that traditional leaders are for development of their communities. That is their core function. So if there's that allegation, maybe there will be a need for us to get details so that we can then check and submit to the committee as to what have we established as to the reason why such Chair, I've spoken about the alignment of programs, which was one of the questions asked by Ngozi, among the things of questions that Ngozi put through. Chair, there was another question that was asked regarding Utwala needs to be conducted. Chair, we need to accept the fact that there are some customs or cultures that are a little bit not in line with the current situation we are in. And therefore, there is a need to improve. One of them is to improve like, if it is done in the wrong manner, there is a research that the department conducted called Utwala, which is indicates how Utwala is supposed to happen, not as we have seen it happen. But here we do not necessarily encourage Utwala in a true sense in that way. Well, maybe I may dump some questions, but because I might have not captured them well. But the disputes on traditional leadership positions. There are people who are claiming that those who are occupying positions which they do not belong to. Somebody was removed from a position in 1980 and now the family wants that position back. So the disputes and claims as per the question is linked to that. As the commission was established specifically to investigate the disputes and claims of traditional leadership positions. I want to deliberate to the one on the dying of mission and delegate that one upward to the DG if possible. I'm just checking.
Let me respond to some of the questions. I will start with from the breath moving forward. Perhaps the one of the dying initiates. Let me start right there because you said that I responded. I think we took note of the dying initiates in Mpumalanga as well as Eastern Lake. As soon as we received the report of the dying initiates in Mpumalanga, the former minister convened a meeting. It was a joint summit between the Minister of Health and the Minister of Cox, the former Minister of Cox, and where they were looking at possible solutions to prevent this loss of life. And out of that, there is a ministerial task team that has been appointed that is going to look at these issues. And they are looking at different reports to be able to ensure that we do not have a repeat of this kind of situation again. If I go to the next one.
I'm just to clarify, I'm not quite sure. Is this now the department responding to questions pertaining to the department, or is it also including the House official leaders, or the official the House official is now? Okay, so.
When I give over after question, invited the person of the house, that's how the king can be done. And he says, giving over to the department, they are
closed. Well, I think that the reason why we made a comprehensive presentation is because we're working together. I will be able to respond to some of the issues that the case in National House, they will also be able to deal with something. So that was the initiation part. And then let me go to the main question that relates to that was asked by Honorable Steven Hagen. they're misaligned because somebody started on a wrong thing and you remember the wrong things, you know. I think the alignment of the NPP as well as the presentation perhaps, you know, it will be helpful to indicate that the in April 2012, when we came up with the APTs, it was almost at the end of the term of the National House members at the day at the time. And I remember in May, that term expired. And we continued asking the minister to keep them, to help them in the interim, in terms of assisting us, you know, with, if there would be a need to involve them in some of the issues that involve the National House. The reason why we delayed until August 21st to reconstitute was, I think the chairperson indicated that the provincial, I mean the local houses took longer to reconstitute, including the provincial houses, because as they were reconstituting, they were supposed to be governed by our laws, and so on. Some of them had to do it once. So it took time, and in the process, now if you look at the cycle of finalizing the APD, it had already been finalized. And when we reconstituted the National House on the 16th of August, it was almost in the middle of the financial year. Now in November, the president opened the house, and he opened it again, you know, on the 2nd of March 2030. Now, we had those targets that we're talking about, the meetings of the secretaries. The secretaries didn't have the National House members because the term had expired and they put those targets. The department intervened. The president was raising issues that we felt needed to be included in the APP, and so there had to be amendments so that they are in full thing. I know that Mandela has also raised the issue of saying, what is it that the traditional leaders do with regard to service delivery? If we go to the framework act, I can't remember the section, section 4, which talks about the functions of traditional leaders. Traditional leaders, as Ngozi Mandela would know, are not there, you know, just to receive things from the municipalities and so on. There are clear functions that have been listed there. One of the functions is for the traditional leaders to be involved in service delivery. How do they get involved in service delivery? They know the issues of their communities. They take the issues of their communities and they raise them in ward committees in different structures and so on. They don't deliver the services themselves, but they complement the municipalities in terms of doing that function and so on. So, you know, that, you know, ATP not, you know, reflecting our report and so on, there was that sort of like adjustment, because we had to take in some of the thrust, the thrust that came up as a result of the new members coming in. And obviously, it is the same thing when I made my opening remarks, that when I got appointed and I appointed the rest of the staff, there was an organogram there for us. We have to look at how best to turn it around to make it functional, you know, within our defined mandate. And then Honorable Smith raised the question that when I was making the opening remark, I was saying our targets were not smart enough, some of them. Our targets now are smart. In the first quarter of 2013-2014, we've achieved 93% of our targets in the first quarter because they are not that smart. And by being smart, it doesn't mean that we lowered the standard. But we just made sure that we did not put in things beyond our control. We made sure that we were putting things within our framework, as well as things within the capacity that, you know, the things that we can do within the existing capacity that we have. And, well, the issue of initiation, you know, it's a thing that, you know, we did not cover it in the report. The cabinet, when it went to the cabinet, the policy for initiation, when it was made initiation, it was raised sharply that we also have to look at female initiation. And, you know, the research that was done also looked at female initiation as well, as the right of passage. And that's why we even extended it to the point that, and we appreciate, you know, Andrew, you suggested that it has got to be an initiation policy rather than putting it as email or mail. And the issue of dispute has been, you know, furthermore, on the issue of dispute, the commission is dealing with 1,244 disputes, traditional disputes and claims, where higher people and claiming to be the rightful traditional leaders and saying that the one that is the incumbent is not the right traditional leader and so on. So, you know, the commission was established as a successor in law for the Sabo Commission to complete those disputes and claims. They also received the land related disputes as well. And they worked very close to the demonstration board as well, with the land, rural development and land reform department. So, and there was the issue of the issue of how many traditional leaders attended the State of Migration address and it's an elitist and so on. I mean, a number of people have raised this with us to say, rather than having not to say the opening of the house, I think, because the opening of the house or the State of the Nation. Opening here. Yes, I wrote it wrong. Now, the opening of the house, there are people that have been making suggestions to us to say, why don't we take it to communities and so on. That's a good idea. That's innovation. But this is how it has been done before and so on. So we take that contribution. But I think when it goes to where people are, you know, that is going to be the best thing, I think. So, and is there a budget for delivery, for service delivery? I've in part responded to that. They don't need, the traditional guys don't need that budget of, you know, building houses and things like that. I've indicated that their main role is to take the issues from the communities, and that is why Department of Traditional Affairs is part of COFTA, because municipalities are within COFTA and so on. We know that they have wall-to-wall municipalities, and municipalities deliver services, but on their own without engaging the other stakeholders. We take traditional leaders as leaders in their own right. In another session, the Honorable Chair, you know, there is a paper that I've written that really deals with these issues, and because from time to time there are issues that are being raised about traditional leaders and so on. And I refer to it, Honorable Chair, the institution of traditional leaders is like a potted stamp, which is stuck on envelope. And many people shy away, they don't want to have anything to do with this postage stamp. And yet, you know, it is there, we have to deal with it. And so on. So I think that traditional leaders have got a role also in the economy and so on. So we have some traditional leaders that are running, you know, Wapukeng, for example, and many others that are, you know, having economic activities and they're developing their communities as well. And the issue of what is the relationship between the regional and traditional councils and the different structures, whether these structures are, you know, give feedback from National House very now. From my experience, because from time to time traditional leaders invite me, I see them interacting with different structures. Not so long ago, a month ago, the National House was accompanying the department who were in Limpopo meeting traditional leaders. From Limpopo went to Mpumalanga meeting traditional leaders. I saw even local, the representatives from local houses in those meetings. And together with the National House, we were presenting policies that impact on the institution of traditional leadership. We were also presenting government programs as well. So I think that relationship, it may not be where it ought to be, but I think we're striving, you know, towards that sort of level. Perhaps I need to talk about the issue of kings. Of course, Mandela has said, you know, kings are not good or the partners. You know, just to put this on record and to clarify, I think a matter of Amampong, it's in court now. I mean, the Constitutional Court, you know, has finalized the issue, but it never went into the merits of the Sapo Commission with regard to who the king is. And we have clarity, we have thoughts from the Fair Council, clarity with regard to that. The reason why Mr. Stora here is saying a king of Amambondo also lent to Marikan. It is because he was, his name was listed in the notice that the president announced on the 29th of July 2010 as a king. But there were challenges, at the, you know, after that and so on. So we're working on the issue of Amambondo and so on. To say he's not a king and so on, you know, I don't think it's also correct. Because the MEC of Kokha in the province and I handed the certificate to Zanu. And then there were challenges thereafter. So it's a complex matter and so on. So I just wanted to bring that sort of context here to say, you know, because I was the witness of King Zanu Zuko in my retirement as well, because I was in my retirement at the time. So as far as I think I've responded to the questions that I got. Oh, the parity, of kings and
yes, food. In terms of salaries and tools of trade.
Yes, that was the last. I think all the traditional leaders, we have the following. The Stability Commission, because traditional leaders are public office banks. The Stability Commission makes a recommendation on remuneration, on benefits, and allowances. And after that, you have determination by the president. On the other hand, you have full of trade. The Stability Commission recommends, and the president doesn't have to make a determination on the resources of full of trade. That is why Dr. Fraser came in the last portfolio committee meeting to come and present to you and with you in terms of this. Now, that in terms of the salaries, all the kings are getting the same salary. Same salary. And determined by the president. All the senior traditional leaders are gaining the same balance. Now the category, well, we have a principal, this layer of principal traditional leaders, you know, they are still earning like kings. And, you know, it's also another subject for another day. You know, I will not delve into it now. And I think, as far as the headmen and headwomen are concerned, the Stability Commission has at least made a recommendation. But we do not have a determination as yet. The recommendation is upper limit of 31,000. And the challenge, you know, is the availability of budget in different provinces and so on. We also have some provinces that have unique situations, such as the KZS. You know, they do not have, you know, this notion of headmanship, as everyone understands it. But we are saying that in terms of the framework that defines what a headman or headwoman is supposed to be. They are in charge of a region or a village or something like that. So I think it's okay. Now the group of trade, the framework that we have come up with as a department, the intention was to ensure that we bring in the norms and standards. Now by bringing in norms and standards, it does not mean making things equal at the same time. You know, some people in certain provinces that have more resources can do more, but more from a baseline, a norm being a solid line. Anyone that would be below the norm, that would not be acceptable. And so, we now have at least come up with the norms for various tools of trade. The tools of trade in terms of the commission are 9. And as far as those 9 tools of trade, you know, we have those, we have the framework that explains which puts the proposals and how those things have got to be dealt with.
Because it's important that you know our state of affairs.
regarding the treatment of kids, the parents, that the system determines the salaries and the rules of trade, so on. There's also support from the provincial government. That is where you see the difference. Mm. If the provincial government is you are put in as a team support, like in cases, and they will offer budget for it, special budget, but you don't see the same in another province. It's because the prerogative of the provincial government is the starting to do with the national health policy, and it's doing with the how many Pakistanis that are invited to the opening of the National House of Pakistan? Honorable members, the National House is a statutory body representing provincial houses. We are elected from the provincial houses to represent those houses at national level. Only three members of province are elected from that province. The rest of the group of the responsibilities at provincial level to deal with all matters of traditional leadership according to the peculiarities of that province, that provincial level. Our role is to report to the provincial house. We are certainly not political, Mr. Smith. We are not political, we are apolitical. As to what that ANC policy conference came into that, we never went to Durban to discuss ANC policy conference issues. It must have been something that was brought in by a member recommending that we consider ANC policy resolution. But the purpose of that meeting was the chairperson's forum, as provided for by the act of the establishing the house. Not necessarily specifically to go into the political issues. A very important point is that one of the budget. Having so much mandate, but our budget. I can say that for this year we have been talking about it is even less than half of one state budget. But we are faced with the entire country and we only have 40 million. Our budget is the same. Let alone the budget of provincial houses. Some are not heavy budgeted for us as provincial houses are more good. Local houses is well. Registration is there but not posted. Most of them are not even running at all. We can't even hold a meeting because of there's no budget allocated to them. Let alone the traditional councils. Only those which have got some mineral wealth can survive the day-to-day running of the traditional councils. As we are saying in our report, that we engage ministers to at least provide a grant the traditional countries so that we can run on daily business and so on. And as for the relationship with municipalities, we felt the need that before we hold a national summit, let there be provincial engagement with bodies in the province between the traditional leaders and SAUDA. That when we have a national summit, each and every province, we have a provincial position that we engage each other at a provincial level so that we promote this relationship between the two. I'm not sure which one. Bringing them the widow, somebody might be hello. Talk about the video. I'm opposed to pushing that at least, of course, in the act to not provide only for the traditional leader in the traditional council,
but there should be also provision for service that won't be good, mothers, wives of traditional leaders. They must be provided for in the next issue. So they are not in the district. They cannot be only budget provided for them if they are not part of the legislation. So it's only at the level of the premier, particular premier's budget, that Umama said. So until that time that the Abu Mama provided in the legislation will be able to but it is our struggle and that we hope him to achieve. The B account and overseeing I think I've got please do not fight too much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In the interest of time, I think I'll be very brief on the issue of initiation because it was answered partially. This emotional issue.
And those who raised it, there was a proposal that we must come before the Portfolio Committee and get a full report. That is in response.
I wanted to say that despite the absence of national framework on the issue, there are certainly provincial laws and regulations governing issues in schools. Members who know that traditional leadership is an area of dual competence between national and provincial governments. That's why provinces will deal with peculiar circumstances in their provinces regarding initiations and other issues. But I'm pleased to know that Mpumalanga has taken a step forward by addressing this problem in earnest. The tendering process, although it has been raised as a priority, to me it's a step forward. We need government to address this honorable practice because no matter what we say, it cannot go away. It remains with us. It's a practice that is dear to us. Programs such as involvement of modern doctors into the practice are welcome. We need government to support financial and otherwise the practice so that it can be well
I think it might
disappointed more my disappointment at neither the House nor the Department asking the question I've raised, and I think it's deliberate, and I really most unhappy with it. So if you want to rule that we didn't have discussion, that's fine. But I intend taking it up. Very unhappy. Second person, this is an annual report signed by the minister, signed by the deputy minister, signed by the DG of Comfort, signed by the DG of Judicial Affairs. And I have a question about why it says here that the House official leaders convened meetings, and it says here in order to consider input to the ANC policy. And the only answer I get is, oh no, that doesn't happen. Maybe somebody has some idea of this individual. This expressly says what happened. And I asked the department to account for this. My question earlier, how did they condone this? How did they use public money for this purpose? I had no response. I reminded the CEO when he was thinking about what to come up with an answer. He chose not to answer either. He didn't know he wanted to answer. So, take the at the top. And he said the chairperson's forum were convened the 29th to the 30th of October in Durban to consider input into ANC colleagues from this on land use, etc., etc. I'm not happy with that. I don't think that comes to government. So I have no response to my question.
If there is a vacuum, we have to go to the leadership.
International, national,
everywhere. If there is going to be a conference of the ANC as a ruling party, everybody is entitled to come out from them. This is the support as well as hands to give them the conference. Yeah, it says. In the political conference on latitude,
It's a point of order. So, as a committee, we cannot condone the use of public money to convene a statutory body for party political purposes. And if that was the case, then how come the Constitutional House didn't convene before our 2012 policy conference in Johannesburg? You can't use state money to convene things. If the ANC wanted to have a policy conference or input of the traditional leaders, they should have called in veto, paid for it, convened it. But you can't use the parliamentary money to convene policy conference and discuss anti-party politics. It's not right.
Thanks, Chair. In order to save time, I just want to pose questions for written replies.
Again, come back to the chairperson of the National House of Traditional Leaders. I would like to check to be noted that perhaps in the future, when we do want a presentation on the APT, it should be stipulated that we would like to engage with the National House of Traditional Leaders so we can gain a thorough understanding of what they want as National House of Traditional Leaders and not be represented by the department and say things that may be opposing to what traditional leaders want. But let me put this question, Chairperson, in terms of the National House of Traditional Leaders opening. I think what is missed here is that we invite the members that sit in the National House of Traditional Leaders. But we do believe that the opening should not only encompass the members that sit in the National House of Traditional Leaders, but there should be an invitation to the provincial houses of traditional leaders, and they in turn should put out invitations to the regional house and to traditional countries, so that at the opening it can clearly be visible that traditional leaders did attend the opening. We have the sense that the opening of the National House of Traditional Leadership is just a ceremony for people and residents of this particular metro being catered, and not really a true reflection of traditional leaders that are spread out in all the 9 provinces of the country. So it can that be noted. Then there is also, Chairperson, the issue of the 9 tools of trade from the Security Commission, which was raised by the DG. Can we have them sent to us as the Portfolio Committee, and can we be familiarized on those 9 tools? The issue of service delivery, Chairperson,
negotiation be truly a thorny issue, because it would do strictly the national house of traditional leaders and the provincial house of traditional leaders and traditional leaders. It will not be what the department is interpreting, what traditional leaders want to sit in municipal council meetings and deliberate on issues. These are issues that the traditional leaders, through their institutions, want to have a capacity to ensure that we are able to deliver on such things. I may, because I was chairperson out of the country with the Southern Parliamentary Forum observing elections in Swaziland, a tiny country in the Southern region and even in the continent. Yet in every traditional council, there is a Gogo center that is built for each traditional council to be able to hold its meetings and be able to ensure that it is able to do administration governance. Yet our own government and department is failing to address such an issue that has always been a solid issue to traditional leaders. So please, let's not think that this is just one of the top of the ocean kind of issues that is very like traditional leaders want to be capacitated, want to take charge of their own space and be able to service their communities. An input there, Chairperson, when he said what traditional leader, and there was no name mentioned, of a traditional leader that is an obstacle to development. Well, I'll give you one. King Zwelibanzi Dalindyebo last week on Wednesday went to Kwapeyi in an area of Chitno, Italy, and put a criminal there by the name of Mr. Blatt as the chief there, which is legal. Mind you, this insane incumbent has been removed by the Dalindyebo royal family in the 29th of September, and the department has yet to provide answers the resolution undertaken by the royal family. So this already is having an impact on development in the area of Kwapeyi. But the very same incumbent went into a municipality of King Sabata Dalindyebo, right in town of Mpata, and started demarcating the entire city to different traditional leaders of his choice. So this is a clear input of traditional leaders having impact on development, and would like the department not to take lightly to these issues. Chairperson, there was also an input on a report of Ugutwala, which there is a legal process that you can actually implement Ugutwala. I'd like to be finished with that, so that if I may want to, in the future, Twala a wife, I must know what the legal route is. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, I think time for the question that the Honourable Member is asking. The former CEO of the House is not here, and the reason why, you know, we do not want to venture into coming with a definite response which will constitute misleading the House and so on. You know, we want to get the facts. However, my understanding at the time was that, you know, they were not gathering there. We would want to just find out the text from the...
I didn't want to intervene between there and there. What happened there was on the street and the state I don't know what he said during this. Before the ANC political conference, there were invitations to send out to any citizen, even different political, just to contribute on policy issues in any item or other subject. It can be NGO, private sector, anyone. There was that address out there. Through emails, everything, we were making input and preparing for the national conference. I thought maybe I didn't want to intervene then, wanting to know what happened then. Because every South African citizen was invited to make input. Any. So they decided to convert to that meeting and come up with a case so that they were able to influence on the policy issues for the ANC. I think they wanted to come into that one, but the address came out for every citizen of the country so that they make input for policy. But if there's any would allow them to gather and get the information from the members on what happened, that emanated or that led to this situation like this. Because I would agree with Honourable Smith, this is the, we all of you own this. I think you can't put the signature and sign having been going through page by page. What is that you need to account for? So that is it, because you put your signature meaning that you own it. The minister, the ex-minister, the ex-minister, so if they need honestly, they need to have them so allow, then we investigate more, and it will be over. Furthermore, emanating from the discussion, I'm making some conclusions. If such from members can speak up strongly that we need also to have a briefing, inviting straight National House of Traditional Leaders so that they'll be able to give us their programs and their work in terms of their performance. Maybe we dedicate a special time. And also it came out from this discussion that we need to invite the Department of Traditional Affairs to give us some of the accounts that the members are talking about, also with those specific programs. Also it came from the issue of initiate that the deputy chairman of the House for the street. That we need to get a report back from the study from the summit and the resolution taken there, and also be informed with the different deputy chairman of the House traditional leaders that this comment is being guided or guaranteed with each different legislation so that you'll be taken on board on how we can take those issues. And also a report specifically on the two provinces that initially they are being respected after the strategy, Eastern Cape and Malanga. And also the policy discussion paper that we spoke about, maybe that will include the summit in Dallas that we had there on all those discussions. And also you'll see the people seeing the other regulations of the roles of kings and queens. Members, is there any that emanated from this company on the thing? If there's none, then I'll send the briefing to get a last statement, which is quite everyone is here, from the CFO. And this item was supposed to be number one in our agenda, so that we'll be able to receive the 20 that are still shuttled. We don't see that it's going to be, but
I'll just from here. But the white speaker must acknowledge my chief from home, Chief Salazar Al-Zahir. We all belong to Kim Aliyabo. The purpose of this presentation is to brief the fellow committee on the outcomes here in area of understanding and selected some few notes from the financial statements that are of interest to the committee. But I must say the issues raised by the AG were discussed by the past and we fully accepted the report by the AG, and we are going to work here to discuss what we are taking to our top management committee, which will be fully discussed and all the recommendations taken care of. I think the AG has already elaborated on this one. We received an unqualified report for the second year, and quite a bit. And slide 5, I'm going to just speak, Chairperson, on the financial performance of the department. Under the year review, we allocated 54.8 billion. And of that is spent 53.4 and 1.4 was not spent. And we tried to do the, I'll do the economic classification, but on this page is the top. Item 1, that is administration, is allocated 125 million and spent 183. And this program is made up of the Office of the TG, CFO, and Office of the CEO. And the mandate was not spent there, more I'll explain it later. Police and research, we allocated 1 million and we spent 49. I'm going to skip it, but 1.4, I'm going to explain it later as to what is made up. But if you look at the it's more on program 3 and program 4, but also program 6, which is more to do with the equity of the share, the disaster management, the disaster grant, and NISPA. And I'll explain as I go back there, the explanation is that in terms of the expenditure of the program. But where it is more important is on page 7, which is explained on economic classification. Of the under expenditure of 1.4, 1.1 is made up of grants that were not spent or transferred, and that constitutes 83% of the total amount. The goods and services are made up of 217, which is more to do with MISA. And if I may read the narrative, slide 8, compensation of employees was underspent by 26 million, and we're saying the underspending is on earmark sub-program of community works program and MISA, mainly due to delays in their recruitment processes. As you are aware, MISA last year they spent trying to build themselves and build up capacity, and that has also resulted in them not spending the amount that were related to them. And that also includes CDMT. Goods and services, office accommodation was not paid on time due to delays in invoicing from subquests and the congregation of the aid. But the substantial part of that amount is to do with CDMT. That is the amount that we were supposed to spend on the participants, which we were unable to, as we were trying to escape the program itself. Transfers and subsidies, as I was saying, this constitutes 83% of the annual expenditure. This is with regards to instructions received from National Treasurer in terms of municipalities not spending on other conditional grants that are given to them, like NIC, like others on water, Department of Water Affairs. And if they are not spending on those grants, then National Treasurer, together with us, they do an analysis of the previous expenditure. And because in terms of the grants, what is supposed to happen at the end of the financial year, in fact, I'm not selling a conditional grant, they're supposed to return it back to the National Treasurer. as in these cases, it didn't happen. The man was not in the Abdel account. So National Treasure found his way up the cover in the Amman, and they instructed us to withhold the equity of the share transfer. And the Amman about 723, and the balance of 436 with regards to the National Disaster Committee that we are in. But it's explained here. I'm also saying the South African Local Government Association appropriation was increased, but the approval for environment was received late for after the end to the amount of $2 million. So that money we have already transferred it, we have a rollover, and we were given and we have transferred it just now. And also the African cities that have the invoices for the last part of their grant at the end of the financial year, and we have asked for the rollover, and we have not been given, but we are using the current allocation tax system. As I was saying, Chairperson, we just selected some film from our annual financial statement, which I'm going to deal with them, and as I'm dealing with them, I'm also going to answer the question, if I may start with consultants. Consultants, which I want to refer to page 211, as you were asked by Camera Law. This relates to Fiji and Bhutan. As you can see, it's 1.4, Fiji and Bhutan, 1.6. Fiji and Bhutan. What we have done in the previous financial year, this is how, not that it was not disclosed in this way, but Treasure Advisor, for the sake of transparency, that this is how it's supposed to be. So if you look at the business and advisor, they say it's all management fees to all the agency. But that amount of 711 million, it includes other consultants that are appointed in the department. But as I say, that part of it relates to the management fees to hourly agency. The bigger one that says contractor of 713 million, that one relates to actual wage costs to our department. That you take previously were not disclosed National Treasurer advisors to do. The last one is this term from 281 to 1.4 billion in this financial year. So it's all to do with DWT. Material losses, I hope to skip that one. Contingent liabilities, accruals, or the normal accounting terms, these commissions. Leave that one and come to irregular expenditure, which also will also answer some of the questions that I asked, and I would like to refer members to page 232. I agree that as a department, we take note that this situation cannot be sustained, cannot continue to incur irregular expenditure year in and year out. As a result, management has taken serious steps to make sure that kind of anomaly. This matter is a sending agenda to our management, and we are doing something about it. But just to give some context to what is the structure, because it may seem that nothing has happened or has changed during the years. In the year 2012, we reported a new regular expense of 750. And that regular expenditure related more than 90% of it was about irregular extensions of contracts by the department. And as a department, we dealt with that and we closed it. All contracts were renewed. We cleared all that expenditure because one of the treasurer assisted us, and that irregular expenditure was cleared. What has been reported today is a new item that we're talking about here, the bulk of it. So you know, which arose out of it was established, found out that one of the lead agents was irregularly appointed. And that is a result of the lead agent during the end of the financial or during the audit process.
and the decision was taken together with Egypt that all payments made to that particular lead agent must be in peer review. But it's not something that I've not appointed in this half year under review. This contract was appointed in 2010, 2011, 12 financial year. This lead agent. They were only established. So that year it was not discovered, it was only discovered in that financial year. So all those payments were given to get it. So it's a good thing that our internal audit, actually I was speaking to her, just the head of internal audit, they are about to finalize the investigation before they give a report to the public office for them to take the appropriate action on this particular matter. And I'm saying that is the kind of regulation we have had in the current state. Yes, we are very much concerned with this, with the finding and the state offenders and the rights, the matter that the management is dealing with at a very high level. We need to do anything. We don't have another instability that has been created because since 25 January, we have not been having a substantive accounting officer. And these things, because they involve very senior people, they need a substantive accounting officer to take appropriate action. And that is what he has done since he has come back. But before he can do anything, investigation must happen, investigation must be finalized, investigation must come up with recommendations so that he can take the appropriate action. And it's something that when you come back to this committee, will be advising us of the 737 million. How much has been attended to in terms of this issue being finalized and action being taken? And as I move, the food gas and wasteful expenditure, I think there's nothing to report there. The matter that 1 million that was there previously has cleared during the year because it was, no good was done. It's not a, it was actually payments that were made. It's a complicated thing, but the accounting officers will let the department and we have to pay the pension fund people and the research of that we regard it as put up in the proper investigations were done and it was something that we are not aware of, then the decision was taken to pay it. But the related transaction are new pressure. I just want to go. Okay, I think in terms of the presentation I'm done, I can only deal with the question. I just pick a friendly consultant, a book, and then with the regular expenditure. I did deal with a very sensitive issue that I touched about in because where I come from in my cancer, we don't talk about dead people. My specialty. If Mr. Shikata was the chief, then the chiefs die with their liabilities and not with their house. But because I'm a chief financial officer, I must report them. Indeed, we received a report from the public prosecutor with specific recommendations, and one of the recommendations was that we must recover the money that was spent in one of the office trips by the late minister. I can say it of the amount of about 600,000. And as good accountants, what when you receive the implemented report by disallowing that expenditure from normal expenditure to a person's account. And we wrote to him, you are still alive then. And he didn't respond, and we decided it to be our legal people to recover. And we wrote to him, but he was already seen by them. Then he died, we couldn't respond. Then what he did,
money was
the normal thing now, legal people, they lost to the administrators of the agency. So the matter is sitting there, it's still in the officer's account, so we're waiting a response. Whether we're going to get anything, or are we not going to end up adding or contributing, we don't know. So it's still there, we are going to close the matter, but it is now a legal matter, so it is
That is why it is this. The last question that I have there was about the expenditure by the municipalities, the bureaucracy, and the question of where they can zero, that doesn't mean that the municipalities are not spending years. But this information is at the time of the project. And these are unexpected. I'm not saying they are just providing more information. At the time of the voting, and based on the information was received from the municipality, at that time, the municipality had not spent or less than the percentage of that question.
Accounts within 30 days. How far is
answer for departments doing in that department. It was, I think, raised in the last step of the nation addressed by the president that we need to check all of the results. How has the department doing? I don't see it here. I know we've watched talk about the earlier. But how are we doing? How is the department doing in terms of the director? Okay?
Thank you, Chairperson. Your first question is about translation of air tickets. It happened, as this is going to happen now, that you have booked flights for 6 o'clock and you are not going to make them. You are going to cancel them book later. So it is a kind of. So, but yeah, it is like that. When, I mean, more special because we are a department that. So, for unavoidable circumstances, the tickets or flights are shifted forward and we get charged for that. So, it's something that can't come. When it comes to car accidents, suggesting this amount is not only for one financial year, as part of our clearance of suspense accounts, we are dealing with that, but we dealt with last year. But we have a committee that is dedicated, we call it Loss Control Committee, that is dedicated to look after the losses against the department. So there is a person who is from Valley and Section who is doing investigation of that incident that happened, in full investigation, and he reports back to the committee. The committee will look at the report. Papers of investigation will check negligence of the point of the driver, and if the driver is found to be negligent, and I'm scared that we have been found to be negligent in the last 15 years, and we will try and recover the money from them. But those who have not been found to be negligent, then the report by the loss control committee goes to the accounting officer to apply his mind, and the accounting officer will say, with a recommendation that because there is no negligence found, then it is written off. Then it's only then that it comes that it becomes a loss. But they are providing this list. And you take it to the students as a right off. And it's not only government cars, it's also private cars. The ones that you hire is being the civil corporate government. And that's the same route for this follow. Corrective measures, or what we do when we receive the deposit fines. What we do, because the deposit report is accompanied by the management letter, the department will look at it, and under my control, I think was referred to earlier, we have an audit steering committee within the department. Its responsibility is to actually
follow on all old funding, be it this financial year or current financial year or last financial year. So we, on the basis of the management letter, we develop what we call in the department post-audit action plan. And the post-audit is actually based on all the findings, based on the management letter, not necessarily on the audit. Then we follow it up on a weekly basis, as well as saying, making the AG almost on a weekly basis, but they are just coming as for their own things. But for the department, this is a management matter. For this current financial aid, specifically, we have already developed it. I think when the length are complete, what is left, before we can take it to what the committee is, to take it to management, to have a look at it. But it takes all actions to be taken, and timelines are also indicated what actions are to be taken to rectify or to make sure that the issues raised by the body cardinals are being followed up. So that is in place. Yeah, and most of the things that are there have been implemented well within our sector, and as we are aware that some of them are really finding, and it's something that separately is taking the risk. We have recommended that perhaps in the awareness we will take you through what actions are taken to address the body code. In terms of the practice, also including the issues related to the pain points and all the issues. Settlement within 36. It's a real challenge within the department, and we have a plan as to how to address. We are still taking challenge, but in terms of the our reporting structure, in terms of the template provided by DG reporting, the COSAC, the two DDGs, in terms of our progress, what it indicates is that we are at least improved, but it is still there. But still, there are still payments that are being made after these days, but there is improvement in terms of the report that we are providing. And the reasoning behind these late payments is mostly the because I introduced something that is a safety net, where even if one is wrong in your payment, then the payment gets intercepted, and then it can get delayed. So it's only due sometimes to the accuracy of the payment details, and sometimes our service providers, because they have challenges with their current banking balance, will change them to another without informing us. So when you pay, money gets intercepted. All sorts of things. And it's something that the PDY once asked, and I have not reported that to him, to say perhaps we need to get a system that we can to track him, but that's also a challenge that we have in that program. And we see with him, but there are issues sometimes to say, I'm not taking the services, I'm not taking the services. But what is critical is they are not standing. Because the date that is get recognized is the date on which you receive the issue. But they'll send it and keep it there and not follow up the issue that they want before any given result in late payment. As I said, this is a management matter, it's part of the job management agenda items that the investigations must be completed. After completion, the report must come with the accounting of some certificate and accreditation. And that is what we are prioritizing in this statement. And as I said, when you come, the person will be given a better report on when it comes to this. And what was the question? Oh, the service provider, I think the internal audit can give us an accurate up-to-date information. The issue is here, but we refer to for forensic investigation, and as far as I'm concerned, we will give us up-to-date information, but we decided to not to hide it to report on it, because it's something that the members of the community can give us where are we at the stigma.
Thank you, Honourable Chair.
The progress of the investigation, it has commenced. We close to finalizing the process. It's anticipated that in the next 2 weeks, the matter should be finalized. And the possible process and wasteful expenditure is in the region of 15 million.
Can we look they're still busy with this, but can we ask that when this investigation is done and once the recommendations have been made around it, that we get a full report on this?
We shall make a point. Thank you, Madam Chair. I hope the speaker is not as bad as it seems from the start. Am I right?
William Bonaparte once said, of all the